The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Welcome in. Kathy Emmons, as the man said, from the Word FM studios, my honor partner John Hall taking a day off, perhaps reclining somewhere glorious. I'm not really sure. Mike, have you heard from John?
I haven't.
Can't believe that.
MIA.
Can you stand it?
I can't.
He just goes on vacation and just forgets about his friends.
Who does that?
Listen, I hate to brag, but I believe when I was in Europe, did I call in?
You texted us pretty much every day.
Did I stay in touch?
You sure did. It felt like I was on vacation with you.
Oh, that's sweet, Mike.
It was nice.
That's so nice. That's not happening this time.
No, it's not.
Absolutely nothing like it.
I think he's sick of us.
Whatever. Happy to welcome, though. In the Word FM studios, Dave Moore, the executive director of the Pittsburgh Urban Christian School. Dave, welcome back.
Thank you, Kathy. Now, it's great to be here.
Now, if you were going on vacation, would you stay in touch with Mike and I?
No.
That was a quick answer.
Well, okay, I would say hi if necessary, but frankly,
I would say hi if necessary.
Okay,
that's
Kathy,
not what you say to friends.
Kathy,
yeah,
is it really a friend who texts you pictures of them sitting on the beach?
Well, I don't know. I think I can.
You cannot vicariously enjoy the beach through somebody else's pictures.
No. You mourn with each other. You rejoice with each other. I think you can.
Okay.
I mean, I'm trying to embrace
That's interesting. I've never thought of it that way before.
I'm trying to embrace the best parts of
Kathy,
if
you go to the beach,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to know.
That's okay.
I mean, just tell me you had fun.
Jeez.
I'll be happy to know.
Jeez, I'll be honest.
I'll
with
be
you.
Happy for you.
It's a tough room.
I want to know. I want to see all the boats that you see.
Listen, I was texting Mike like awesome historical plaques I was seeing in obscure parts of Amsterdam.
That was really cool.
We both enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It's fine. Whatever.
We love our history.
We do love our history. Anyway, we're laughing because otherwise we'd cry.
Seriously.
It's just so much sadness and a sense of helplessness in the country today as we try to come to grips with two more mass shootings. Let's hear from the president. Mike, play us a clip of what he had to say this morning.
In the two decades since Columbine, our nation has watched with rising horror and dread as one mass shooting has followed another over and over again, decade after decade. We cannot allow ourselves to feel powerless. We can and will stop this evil contagion. In that task, we must honor the sacred memory of those we have lost by acting as one people. Open wounds cannot heal if we are divided. We must seek real bipartisan solutions. We have to do that in a bipartisan manner.
Okay, great.
I would really look forward to seeing that, right?
Yep.
I think we need to see some leaders who are going to model that, because I don't have any faith that that could happen.
No, but do we need to have faith in that?
No. Okay.
So
you think that having faith in, Trump and the Democrats coming together to work on a solution is probably misplaced and will result in disappointment?
Well, I'm always set up to be disappointed. So, never had any faith in that to begin with. But what is interesting here is there is one thing that everybody seems to be able to agree on when they're in separate rooms, which is that we need unity. We need to love one another. We need to find bipartisan or not even bipartisan. We just need to find common ground on which to stand so that we can live with each other. But once we all get into the same room together,
it gets dicey.
Then it all falls apart. And And that's the danger. There's nothing wrong with the words the president said today, so long as you can carry that into the room with everybody else. My mind regarding power and helplessness was driven today not to lament. You know, the word despair or despondency can come up a lot, and I used that a lot today.
18 times before noon today.
You did. And then 16 or 17 in the couple hours we were talking after that.
It was a hard day.
But there's a difference between despair and lament. And here that not knowing what to feel is exactly what the psalmist is reflecting in Psalm 42. This is just four verses out of Psalm 42. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
Okay, so he goes into despair.
Yeah.
Right? He recognizes what it is.
Yep.
He says to God the honest thing, really, have you forgotten me?
Yep.
After all this time I've
spent
with you?
Haven't you ever asked God that?
Yeah, of course.
Where are
you,
God?
Yes.
When are you going to show up? Yeah. But this feeling of helplessness is...
Or powerlessness. As the president said.
Yes, or powerlessness comes down to... is overcome not by feeling powerful, but by recognizing our powerlessness, our own personal powerlessness, and the powerfulness of one that is outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that you hear on the news today, the president, whoever it is, they're just humans. You don't have to fear them, nor do you have to look for all of your hope from them. And the psalmist here is reflecting this very common. He's normalizing this. Boy, there are some minutes when I am able to pull my faith together and say, "Yeah, but God's still in control." And then a minute later, I'm like, "God, where are you? When are you going to show up?" In this moment, to accept the normality of that.
This is where we are.
This is where we are. Can protect us from despair. That's lament.
That's good. Okay, so instead of despair,
yes.
Instead of saying there is, you know, throwing your hands up, feeling powerlessness, saying you guys are never going to be able to agree, it's never going to change, we're just going to keep doing this over and over and over again, we instead lament, which is we say what is,
mm-hmm.
We ask God, where
where you been?
Yeah, exactly. What?
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens at the end? Is this lament have a different end than despair?
The lament has a different end when we kneel, accept our powerlessness before it, accept that there is a God who is more powerful and that he sees and knows,
mm-hmm.
And that his ways and his ultimate victory is well beyond us. Part of despair is thinking that I can do something about it.
Or that they can do something about it.
And that they're failing.
And they're failing.
Or that I'm
right.
failing by...
Right. Or the other party has
right.
all the power and won't use it. And so therefore, because I'm here and they're there, I can just hate on them social media-wise
yep.
or whatever and be consumed by it because they're not going to do anything and I'm just going to throw up my hands.
It's a misplaced... pride or idolatry, thinking that we can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, what the president said, we can fix this. No, we can't. No, there's something bigger than us going on.
Mm-hmm.
We also talked a bit about Marianne Williamson. There's this dark
the
psychic.
Specter.
The specter. Okay.
Yeah. But listen, I'm telling you, I said this last week, she's on to something.
There's a three-letter word we don't like anymore. It's called sin. Evil is conscious, it is powerful, it is greater than us as humans. It is not greater than our God, but it is greater than us, and we need to respect that.
Much more conversation today about the shootings in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. But coming up next, we'll go to the White House. Greg Clugston with us. We'll find out what the president is doing, how he's responding, and what things are like inside the Beltway. Hey, employers, are you tired of paying outrageous premiums for health insurance? How about a plan that allows you to go to any hospital in the country, a plan that pays you back every year? Now, whether you wanted the top-of-the-line plans or you just want enough to keep you legal, Marley Financial, they've got a custom-made plan just for you. As a business owner, you owe it to yourself to stay ahead of the ever-changing marketplace, and Marley's been on the cutting edge of new and improved health plans for both individuals and businesses for years. And only Marley Financial offers health plans that actually pay you back. So go to MarleyFG.com for unbiased, top-notch plans from any carrier in Pennsylvania, plans that'll save you money and give you an edge over the competition. They even offer custom business solutions to reduce your liability and overhead as you grow. They're truly one of the most innovative agencies in the nation. So give them a call now, Marley Financial, 724-884-1496, or visit MarleyFG.com.
101.5 WORD.
The teen years are critical for our sons. Here's Dr. Gary Chapman.
We're losing far too many young men by the time they get to be 18. And the decisions a young man makes in those years, you know, 11 to 18 or so, are going to greatly impact the rest of his life.
How to develop character in the lives of young men as they grow. Next time on Family Life Today.
Tomorrow morning at 9 on 101.5 Word FM WORD.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Belanti and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
Once upon a time, customers would find your business with this big, thick book full of phone numbers and competitors' phone numbers. It was a heavy, cumbersome, yellowish-looking thing. You'd place your ad in the book and hope customers would call.
Hello?
Now, there's Salem Surround, delivering customers with targeted digital marketing. Get started with a free evaluation of your digital presence and great ideas to increase your online visibility and revenue. Learn more at SurroundPittsburgh.com. SurroundPittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club you save as much as half. Half off home improvement services, web design, family entertainment, music festivals, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping and God save the green.
The president spoke this morning, made his first public comments verbally. Of course, he spoke on Twitter over the weekend after the two shootings, one in El Paso and one in Dayton, Ohio. And so to kind of like get on the inside track of how things are going at the White House and what the feeling is there, we always turn at this time of the week to talk to Greg Clugston. Greg is the SRN News White House correspondent. Greg, welcome back.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you. These are always tough days, and you know, these news stories grip a lot of people. Absolutely.
Greg, I'm sorry that we've had to share many Monday afternoons like this together over all these years. And the president's right. There is a sense of powerlessness that tends to grip us when we see one of these happen after another. Talk about how the speech went this morning, how it was received, and how the White House is dealing with the fallout.
Yeah, it's interesting because the president, as you mentioned, did tweet over the weekend. He did give some verbal statements just briefly yesterday before leaving his resort in New Jersey before going back to the White House. And then he tweeted again this morning before his remarks again from the White House later in the day. And there were a little bit of differences in each of those messages. We obviously heard him express his sorrow and his sympathies and expressing his condolences. And that was the gist of what he was saying yesterday and on Twitter over the weekend, and also praising law enforcement. And then this morning, he took a little bit of a different turn on Twitter when he was putting out the idea that he would be interested in the idea of pursuing legislation on background checks. Mm-hmm. but then also saying maybe that would be a good idea to combine that idea of background checks with immigration reform, which are two both very polarizing issues, and there hasn't been much progress on either one of them. And that was a very surprising suggestion by him, which he then later did not include in his verbal remarks when he was standing by the vice president for his address this morning. He did talk about a culture of violence. He targeted mental illness. He talked about the role of or the effect of video games on society, violent video games. And he did talk about a couple of measures like that, but he did not go down the road of background checks or any other kind of gun restrictions. And in fact did say, and maybe you already have mentioned this, but he did say that, you know, mental illness pulled the trigger, not guns.
Right.
And so it seems as if the president was sort of falling back into familiar territory with how he has responded to these past shootings during his administration.
Greg, this is Dave Moore sitting in for John. It's good to talk to you again.
Hi, Dave.
I read that as well, about Trump connecting the gun control legislation with immigration reform, and whether he backed off on that or not. Things seem to change by the moment anyways. But does that make gun control simply a bargaining chip for him to get what he wants? And does anybody else in Washington, especially in the legislature where the policies are supposed to be made, seeing it that way?
Yeah, it's hard to know if a bargaining chip is the right way to describe that. I think not only those of us who read the tweet this morning, we were surprised, but there's a sense that the idea that the president put out there on Twitter even maybe caught some of his aides and advisors off guard, mm-hmm. because there wasn't any mention of it from any of the paperwork or conversations with officials today or in his address that came a couple of hours later. So it's as if they completely said, okay, that's out there, but we don't want to move in that direction, at least not now. The real problem with you know, when you're talking about gun control measures from a congressional standpoint, is the issue is, like a lot of issues in this country, very partisan. You've got Republicans and Democrats just in a lot of cases. Obviously, there are exceptions, but by and large, the divide falls along those party lines. And you can't really talk about this without talking about the influence of the National Rifle Association. And, of course, there are a lot of, you know, solid citizens, you know, listeners of this program, I'm sure, you know, in support of Second Amendment rights. But when we see this carnage with the, you know, with the mass shootings, the role of the NRA usually comes up. And that's probably why the president at least did mention the line about mental illness pulling the trigger, because that was maybe meant to appease some of the supporters of the NRA, of which many are Republicans.
I think that his commentary that we played before you came on the air, Greg, about acknowledging the feelings of powerlessness that we have, but saying that we have to fight against that, that we refuse to be powerless. I think a lot of our feelings, I'm speaking on behalf just as, you know, Joe Citizen, is because we see so little conversation happening between people of different parties and so little actual negotiation or actual listening. That's, I think, where a lot of our powerlessness, where the feelings of powerlessness come from.
Right. And so when the American people are faced and dealing with the grief and the sorrow and the aftermath of yet another mass shooting, and in this case, two in just a few hours' time over the weekend, you know, we often look to national leadership for some sort of guidance or help or assistance or optimism or hope of some kind. And members of both parties tend to fall into the same response categories as they have previously, as if, you know,
the talking points are the same.
Talking points that really just talk past each other.
Right.
Without there being, and the other thing too is that you had somebody like Senator Cory Booker. He, of course, is one of the many Democratic candidates running for president. There's a video clip that's going around showing that, you know, a few months ago at a televised town hall, he was very critical of the president Trump for not singling out white supremacy and hate and bigotry as part of the problem with gun violence. That's exactly what the president did today. He was interviewed, Booker was, after the president's speech, and he said, no, that's not good enough. So you just still have the political aspects to all of this still popping up.
Yeah, and I remember a much bigger event, 9/11, when President Bush came on that night. Mm-hmm. His message was not an outline of policy proposals. And I remember presidents doing this, that in response to a surprising event, they did not come out with attacks against the other party or with new policy proposals or see things my way and I'll fix it, but with a message about us being a country that sings together and mm-hmm. cries together. And that seems to be missing even more, where we can't even from any elected representative,
regardless of what they say, there's something wrong with it.
Right. That we can't just stop for 30 seconds and say, man, what happened in El Paso and Dayton
is horrible.
Really stinks. Right. And it feels like it happened to all of us.
Yeah.
Sure. And even though there were some aspects of the president's speech today where he was talking about that he and the First Lady are grieving with all Americans, and that there is a need for unity and for bipartisanship, and he emphasized that it needs to be real bipartisanship. And even though those elements were there in the speech today, sometimes there has been a disconnect between the president's prepared speeches and his off-the-cuff remarks or the tone of his tweeting. That everybody reads. And so that also leads to frustration as to whether or not there is an overriding message and sympathy that the president is expressing.
Okay, Greg Clugston with us, SRN News White House correspondent. We know that you have a hard stop at the end of this half hour, Greg, so I want to make sure I ask you about China. So the president tweeted about 8 hours ago that China dropped the price of their currency to an almost historic low. I'm reading the president's tweet verbatim. It's called, quote, currency manipulation. Are you listening, Federal Reserve? This is a major violation which will greatly weaken China over time. So talk about how the president's thinking of responding to this.
Yeah, this is very interesting. It was definitely a move that Beijing decided to lower, you know, its value of its currency against the U.S. dollar. The president describes that, as you just read, as currency manipulation, and he's really seeking to blame the Federal Reserve. And there are a couple of things here. First of all, the move by China just made markets extremely nervous, and there was a huge sell-off today. So 3% plus losses on the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ today. So it was the biggest Dow drop point-wise this year, not percentage-wise because the value of the markets are so high, but it was still a notable decrease in value today of 3%, and so people were rattled about that. What's interesting is the president has been talking about going after China for its currency manipulation since before taking office. This was something he talked about in the years in the run-up to his running for the White House. But what's interesting, too, is that it's the Treasury Department, not the Federal Reserve, that has the authority and the power, if it wants to exercise it, to actually officially label China as a currency manipulator according to certain international guidelines and rules.
Oops.
And the Trump Treasury Department has not done that since he's been in office. So even though he is he's making this accusation of currency, it's not an official position of his administration, at least according to the Treasury Department.
All right, Greg. So, Dave, ask away.
Well, I was going to follow up with is that one thing that's been noticed is that this is not a good long-term strategy for China. Yes. Is this a wait us out, like a race to the bottom?
Yeah, it's really seen by some as a response to the tariffs that the president has put forth. Of course, we know there's this standoff between our two countries over tariffs. There have been on again, off again trade talks as recently as just a week and a half ago, with plans to resume them here in Washington in early September. So we'll have to see if that happens. But it's really seen as some kind of a response by China on the tariffs, and What's concerning to those, especially, you know, who track these financials, is that it's not just a trade war, but you could have this currency war. I think you're right that there is this also understanding that it's not good long-term strategy. The president even was tweeting that it'll fail China in the long run, but in the short term, it's having a big effect on the markets.
Well, Greg, as we say, each time you're with us, there is a lot going on, and we're grateful for your contribution, and we're glad to have your eyes and ears on the scene.
Always glad to do it. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Greg.
That's Greg Clugston, SRN News White House correspondent. We'll continue our conversation about the shootings in our country over the weekend, and we hope you stay with us on today's edition, The Ride Home.
A moo moo here and a moo moo there. Here a moo, there a moo, everywhere a moo moo. Hi there, it's me, Marcia from the Springhouse, inviting you out to our real working dairy farm in 84 Pennsylvania. Not only will you enjoy watching the heifers in the field and the baby calves in the mini barnyard, but you should also come hungry for our fabulous farm fresh cooking. Step inside the Springhouse for hot roast beef sandwiches, turkey and stuffing, hickory smoked ham, stuffed cabbage rolls, real mashed potatoes, and a whole lot more. A different menu each day. The locals tell their friends that our famous chocolate milk is the official drink of the Springhouse. And be sure to save room for apple pie, ho-ho cake, Oreo cheesecake, or lots of other from-scratch goodies for dessert. Have I made you hungry yet? Let us share a little of our farm with you at the Springhouse, 724-228-3339 or springhousemarket.com. 724-228-3339 or springhousemarket.com.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
Welcome to Office Depot. How can I help you?
We're getting her organized for back to school.
Yep, got my green notebook and folder for chemistry.
I mean, science is always green, because, of course.
Right, because math always has red notebooks.
Right, because blue notebooks are for English.
And yellow are for social studies.
And purple is for music. And are we twins?
No.
Get everything on their list from the advisors at Office Depot Office Max. This week's Doorbusters school backpacks for $10. $10 in-store or online at officedepot.com. Limit 2 excludes New Balance.
As parents, you're dedicated to seeing your kids live out God's call for their lives, to enter adulthood with discernment, integrity, biblical values, and the ability to thrive in work that's meaningful, to not only make wise and faithful decisions, but defend them as well. At Cornerstone Prep in West Mifflin, pre-K through 12th grade students thrive in an environment that fosters biblical discipleship and authentic education. Cornerstone Prep, ready for life at cornerstoneprep.net.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, you can get a $25 prepaid Visa card by mail when you buy any Napa automotive battery. That's Napa know-how at participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Auto Care centers. While supplies last, offer expires August 31st.
Dentistry, in my opinion, shouldn't be a fear-inducing experience. And it really, I think, goes a long way for patients when I'm able to develop that one-on-one relationship with them.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
We'll have a thunderstorm around to start tonight. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy, warm, and humid with a low of 66. Sunshine will mix with clouds tomorrow. Watch for a thunderstorm around in the afternoon, warm and humid with a high 85. Mostly cloudy and buggy with a shower and thunderstorm around tomorrow night. It will be 65. Mainly cloudy and steamy Wednesday with a shower and heavy thunderstorm around, high near 80. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Frank Strait.
Second, we must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or substantially reduce this, and it has to begin immediately. Cultural change is hard, But each of us can choose to build a culture that celebrates the inherent worth and dignity of every human life. That's what we have to do.
That's the president this morning in his commentary about the shootings over the weekend. Video games.
Yeah.
It's a common thing. Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, was speaking in the news programs over the weekend that he thinks that that is one of the main drivers as well to these types of shootings. So I'll ask both of you guys. Most of the people involved in the video game world are men. Most of the people who are involved in mass shootings are men. So I'm just going to ask you guys, do you play video games? What do you think of that? Do you think that's a crazy thing, crazy link that the president and other leaders are making?
I was never good enough at video games to play them. No, I'm in that generational gap that, like, my son plays video games a lot, and we just chose to accept it, but we also limited seriously what he could play and the time he could play. But, like, I never had interest in it whatsoever.
Is that right?
Yeah. There are certain things that are fun. We had a Sega when I was growing up.
Right.
So I played Choplifter.
All of a sudden, it's Stranger Things.
Played soccer and... Madden football is still fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could play, or Wii bowling. I'm good with that.
Sure.
I play that with my kids, but
that's it. Mike, yeah. What about you?
Personally, I think it's completely bogus that he's blaming video games. There's been shootings well before Call of Duty even came out. I mean, I played Call of Duty my whole entire freshman year of college, and it didn't spark anything in me to do anything.
It didn't turn you.
Yeah. And if you're going to blame video games, then you'd have to blame the movie industry as well. I mean,
right, that's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I don't like about us poo-pooing this, okay?
Okay.
Is that if you're dealing with a massive problem, let's all sit around the table and throw out all possible causes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Right.
So, guns can't possibly be the problem. Guns can't be the problem. Video games can't be the problem. This can't be. Look, we're dealing with people dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come up with possibilities here.
Right.
And we're just going to green light.
Right. I think the problem, though, I just think that there is this massive moat between the politicians inside and us as citizens on the outside, where we feel like we're watching them do nothing. And so
But why do we demand they do something?
Well, because we don't want to be afraid to go to Walmart. And we want them to do, I mean, we feel like we elect them to provide some order into civic life, and there isn't any.
Safety, public safety, either personal or property, is the principal function of government, right?
Right. I'd say it's one of the major functions
of
government.
It's one of the principal functions of government. So if that is failing, not only is public safety failing at a massive level, but there is, if politicians were to simply throw up their hands and say, you know what, we don't have any ideas, we're going to put our heads together and come up with some new ones, then, that's what we expect our leaders to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the immediacy with which the very same policy ideas or retreaded arguments are thrown out there, it is disheartening, not because they don't do those things, but because it doesn't seem to be about the issue anymore. It seems to be about each politician winning their point.
Right. Okay. So it's not really about – you feel like we're not having an honest debate about what the actual causes are, because if I'm a Republican, I have already decided that it's not guns.
Right.
It has nothing to do with guns, and so I'm going to come up with something else. And so you, as an observer, you're saying, well, you don't trust me anymore because I'm too invested in my own side.
Right. Okay. Yes. And conversely.
So if I'm a Democratic leader and I'm heavily funded or supported by Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
right, then I'm not going to bring up the film industry.
They're not bringing up the film. Yes, right.
TV or anything like that, because I know all my friends in Hollywood, are going to get mad or not going to support me or whatever. And so you don't trust me either.
Yep. And let's go one step further. We do have sanctioned killing.
In abortion?
Mm-hmm. And so at what point are we willing to say, okay, we're going to throw
So if you see Kevin McCarthy says, okay, I think it's video games. The president says, I think it's video games. You say, I think we should put abortion in there. I think we should say, okay, well, let's, if we're talking about all the options, you think that the devaluing
what has happened,
abortion.
What has happened to us, to what has made us unable to live civically together in the last 50 years? What has changed that might be contributing to an atmosphere of callousness toward human life, or a sense of hopelessness among our young men, or a sense of loss or grievance, or being boxed in, trapped, and ready to bust out like a caged animal? What has contributed to that? Let's throw everything out there.
Okay. All right,
economy,
then let's. Okay, everything. So you're going to put abortion in there.
Yes.
How about I put in there the fact that there aren't places. The American Legion isn't there anymore.
Yep.
The Lions Club isn't there.
The bowling league.
The church isn't there. So where do kids go? Where there's no. Like, I have a sense of community because, first off, I have a great community here at work, which is why I'm texting Mike when I'm on my vacation, which
cute.
Might say something wrong about me. I don't
yeah.
know. Anyway, but I've got a community here, but I also have a church community,
yes.
right? I have that I see on every 7 days. These are people that I'm invested with. But that's because I've made a serious point to do that. All the trends are showing in America, people are not making that effort. So all of a sudden, not only have we lost the Lions Club or the Rotary Club or the American Legion, now we've lost the church too. And now there's nobody I go to church. I have very limited opportunities to BS somebody at church because they all know me. It's not
oh,
like.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we do.
I don't think I needed that commentary.
Kathy, we make a decision every week to love you anyways.
Exactly. So there's no possible,
Right.
I'm not going to be able to do that because I'm known. The problem with these guys we're talking about, that's the point that the editorial board at the Wall Street Journal made in their excellent piece they wrote today, is that these men who are perpetrating these crimes are unknown.
Yes.
They are unknown, isolated people.
And you talk about the church a lot, but I was pastor of a church of 50, a pastor of a church of 40, and then participant in a church of 3,000. That church of 40 was very difficult to break into, but you were also known. Like people weren't just invested in your life; they were infested in your life. And so you have
that's a whole other level.
Inability to hide.
That right, I like
and,
that. Yeah,
and so therefore, and not only do I have the inability to hide, but people. When I show up every Sunday and you shake my hand, I know that you know some of the dirt in my life, and you've still chosen to shake my hand.
And anyway, so someone's making a conscious decision to
right.
overlook your faults and have a relationship with you anyway.
That's right.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Marilyn Anderson Rimes. What about prayer in public schools? I mean, so we don't do it anymore because we're not allowed. But what if the teachers prayed? What kind of thing would that bring
Great
about?
Great question.
Yeah, we're going to talk about teachers who pray. 100 chapters nationwide. That's next on The Ride Home.
101.5 WORD.
All right, summertime is over and the school year is about to start. On the next Focus on the Family, we'll hear why parents have to keep looking for the right keys to learning so your child can succeed in the coming year. It's practical, trusted advice for your child's education on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Tonight at 8:30 on 101.5 WORD.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou. Will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term providers help thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D Waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Belanti and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
This is Jay Hagerman of Abernathy and Hagerman. Upon your passing, you wouldn't want a judge to decide who raises your children or how your estate gets divided. It is important to review your estate planning documents to ensure they protect what matters most. At Abernathy and Hagerman, we will work with you to establish an estate plan that nominates a guardian for your minor children and that your assets are used for your family's benefit. Judge for yourself. For legal help that lasts a lifetime, visit a-h.law.
What's happened to my son? We raised him in the church and he went to youth group. He's not acting like himself, and this morning I found drugs in his room. I can't tell my pastor or my friends. They'll think I'm a bad parent. Is this my fault? I'm so ashamed and don't know where to turn.
There is hope. For over 50 years, Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge has been helping families to find answers to their loved one's drug addiction. Call today, 724-265-4100, or visit paatc.org, bringing wholeness to the hopeless.
In all the conversation we've had about prayer in schools, and there has been a lot of it over the last 40 years, it's tiresome. I mean, everybody, as in most things in contemporary political engagement, is just two sides repeating what they already think. You know, well, the reason we have all these shootings is because we took prayer out of the schools. That's why it happened. Well, yeah, that could be part of it, but nobody can keep us from praying. Right, that's the beautiful, beautiful thing about this.
And you can do it anywhere.
The communication option, this wonderful portal we have between us and the God who made us. And so I'm excited about this organization that I did not know about until this week called Teachers Who Pray. And so we've invited Marilyn Anderson Rames to join us today. Marilyn is an educator, a writer, founder and CEO of Teachers Who Pray, which is a faith-based nonprofit that has more than 100 chapters nationwide. She's also the author of the upcoming book, which I can't wait to read, The Master Teacher, 12 Spiritual Lessons That Can Transform Schools and Revolutionize Public Education. Marilyn, we're glad you're here.
Hi, thanks, Kathy and Dave. I'm glad to be here.
Hi, Marilyn.
Yeah, Marilyn, tell us about Teachers Who Pray. Where did the idea come from, and were you caught up as a teacher in the whole conversation about taking prayer out of the schools, and what do we do now?
Oh, yes. Well, I believe the Lord gave me the idea of starting Teachers Who Pray. It was initially a response to my own need as a teacher in Chicago Public Schools to not quit and walk out on a daily basis after I realized how difficult the job was going to be. I actually transformed my career from journalism in New York City as a reporter to educator in Chicago, where I'm from, after 9/11. So this is like a desire of my heart to give back to kids. And I had been teaching Sunday school for years at my church. And I just felt the call to become a teacher professionally. And but it was much harder than teaching Sunday school. I mean, like, it was more than notion. And I quit my job. I moved to Chicago. And I'm like, did I make a horrible mistake, Lord? Did I not hear you correctly? Because I don't want to do this. It's just too hard. And I just turned to the Lord in prayer, constantly asking him for direction and strength and wisdom on how to make it through on a daily basis, and was actually dealing with some of the adults in the building that gave me the most grief, more than, you know,
the students.
Dealing with the students and behavior problems. So, and a lot of teachers say that. That's actually a common refrain I've heard over the years, because the system is so broken, and it's really hard to be motivated when sometimes you are not on the same team and you don't feel like you have a community in the building. It feels very isolating at times. So that's where the idea came from.
So, Marilyn, I respect both you teaching and also being driven not out of your mind but to your knees. Mm-hmm. How did you broach this conversation with your fellow teachers? I imagine, like, your teachers who pray, not just teacher who prays. How did you broach that? I imagine it was difficult to bring this up the first time.
Well, it was a little nerve-wracking initially, because you don't really know who is a Christian or who has faith in the building. It's not something that we're taught to wear on our sleeves in public education. So it's a series of one-on-one conversations, like at lunch or like on your way from the parking lot to the building, where you can kind of discern and get hints about who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. And then, of course, there will be some who were pretty vocal about their beliefs. But the very interesting thing that occurred early on was that I found myself offering to pray with teachers who just had problems, and they weren't Christians. And some of the Christian teachers were, not all of them, but some of them who I would expect to want to do this were reluctant because of fear or because, well, you know, they do all this stuff at church already, and so they just didn't make time in their schedule to do it at school, after school. So it was really interesting. At one point, I had a group of teachers at one school, and none of them were, like, deep believing, like, part of their lifestyle Christians. They were, like, nominal Christians or, like, had been baptized as babies or had a sense that there was a higher power. And I was in the midst of six women who were coming regularly for prayer and asking questions. So I realized that, you know, it could be used. God was using it as like an evangelism tool as well.
So were you? So people were coming to you in the, like, when you were at work at school?
So what we do is we meet before school or after school, with in the absence of students. So there are no students, and we're not on the clock.
Okay. And do you meet? Do you meet in the school building?
Yes, absolutely. In a classroom. Sometimes it's my classroom. Sometimes it's, you know, in other teachers' classroom. That is completely legal. Just as well as it's free speech, it's free exercise of your faith, and you're not on paid time to do it. So it's pretty much tantamount to going to a colleague's classroom across the hall and gossiping about, you know, like, the problems in the school building.
Yeah,
like, it's free speech.
Yeah. All right, Marilyn, listen, our time's almost up, but we have to have you back because I'm super excited about this. I'm married to a teacher, and he and I, though I'm the teacher supporter, you know, I've never actually been the teacher, but, you know, I've seen all that he's gone through for all these decades that he's been teaching. And we have just seen prayer be so foundational to what happens with his students. I mean, when I heard about Teachers Who Pray, I thought, oh my gosh, this is just the fact that there are 100 chapters nationwide, the fact that you've got a new book coming out. I mean, I just feel like this is a conversation.
It actually came out.
Oh, when did it come out?
It came out in May.
Oh, terrific. Okay, well, you know what? Do me a favor. Get me a copy of that. Forward it my way. And then, Marilyn, we'd be happy to have you back on the program to discuss this even more. Marilyn Anderson-Rames, educator, writer, founder, CEO of Teachers Who Pray, a faith-based nonprofit. As I said, more than 100 chapters nationwide. And she's the author of the book that's already come out, The Master Teacher, 12 Spiritual Lessons That Can Transform Schools and Revolutionize Public Education.
Thank you. For most of us, it's hard to even look at. We've all seen images of a hungry child. She can barely move because that hunger has left her exhausted, lifeless. There's a name for this. It's severe acute malnutrition. Save the Children works in poor areas and cares for the child you're thinking of right now, but they can't do it without you. Your $60 gift to Save the Children can provide the emergency nutrition needed to bring a child back from the verge of death. We've just received the news that your gift to Save the Children will now be doubled. That's right. Thanks to a generous private donor, every life-saving dollar you give will double to change the lives of children. Please call Save the Children right now.
Call 888-884-4836. 888-884-4836. That's 888-884-4836. Or give online at wordfm.com.
Do you find yourself struggling to get comfortable while trying to read or watch TV in bed? Consider an adjustable bed from the Original Mattress Factory and elevate your sleep experience. Raise your head and feet to the zero gravity position to help relieve joint pressure and provide optimal comfort. The Original Mattress Factory offers two models of high-quality adjustable beds at an excellent value. Both models are designed to pair perfectly with an Original mattress. Visit an Original Mattress Factory location near you to find the perfect adjustable bed and mattress for you.
Sleep impacts your ability to focus, learn, and solve problems. But according to Harvard Medical School, only 11% of American college students are sleeping well. At the Original Mattress Factory, we can't guarantee that your college student won't stay up until 3 a.m. cramming before a big exam. But we can provide a hand-built, high-quality mattress at a factory-direct price when they are finally ready to get some rest. Visit an Original Mattress Factory store near you or go to originalmattress.com to learn more.
This is the Entertainment Answer. Actress Isabella Moner brings Dora the Explorer to the big screen and loves her optimism.
Seeing her eternal joy for everything, even if she's getting attacked by an animal or something, she's like, all right, let's work this through and find out how we're going to get out of the situation. And so I used that optimism and I just kind of amped it up a little bit more to make it more of a contrast between her and the kids that she goes to school with.
Dora and the Lost City of Gold, rated PG. For this Entertainment Answer, I'm Matt Mungle.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask Home Advisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, Home Advisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free Home Advisor app.
Home Advisor.
More conversation coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as we reassess where things are in America in light of our mass shootings over the weekend. But I do want to take a break for something that's not quite so heavy. Listen to this. Wall Street Journal today, an article by Anne Marie Shaker. She says, for ice cream lovers, it is the summer of our discontent.
I've had a good time with ice cream this summer.
Well, eager to woo health-conscious consumers, you might not be one of these.
I don't have that problem.
Food brands are marketing a growing range of ice cream alternatives that I know New Mike will be very excited about.
I can't wait to hear this.
Because these new ice creams are made with ingredients such as avocado, cauliflower, beets, ooh, zucchini, oats, and wait for it, navy beans.
Okay, you lost
navy
me.
Beans.
Navy beans.
Wow.
I do not think, quote, ice cream is supposed to be healthy, says 10-year-old Marique Holm, a rising fourth grader
from the mouths of babes
in Jefferson, Massachusetts, whose mother has attempted to serve him alternatives made from cashew milk and bananas.
Okay, now I would enjoy cashew and bananas.
Banana, yeah. Right. Warney Riker watched with mounting horror this summer as his wife, a dietitian, brought home dairy-free ice creams made from ingredients such as soy, pea protein.
We have to do something with all the extra soy, don't we?
Pea protein and coconuts. Mm. That's pea protein. P-E-A.
Okay.
When she came home with a pint of pureed avocado, he drew the line.
Oh,
that's what he said. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so here's the thing to remember, you guys.
I thought we called that guacamole.
Yeah.
No. Okay, these aren't just lower calorie versions of regular ice cream, people, in case you're thinking that's what they are, because they do have a lot of calories, but they are plant-based recipes that try to look and taste like ice cream, like a Kato. This brand makes something called the avocado frozen dessert.
Did they call it Soylent Green?
No, wait. That's funny. They serve up flavors such as deep dark chocolate, mint chocolate chip, and salted caramel in pints that look just like ice cream.
Oh, cute.
But there's no milk or cream.
So it's all about the branding.
It's not really
ice cream.
No, it's not. But it says they are made without recklessly taxing the planet's resources.
Oh, here we go. Come on.
Farm to Spoon brand features varieties like chocolate chip cookie dough and peanut butter chocolate swirl that show like a melty scoop on the label, but it's made with a blend of cauliflower, navy beans, and sweet potatoes.
But doesn't cauliflower tax the planet's resources?
Apparently not.
All of that land that's being used to grow cauliflower could be making something productive like potatoes.
Preach.
What if the two of you still want your dairy, but you want a little extra nutrition? Unilever sells probiotic ice cream. Would you like to try that? That's under a brand called Culture Republic. You could get the flavor turmeric chai.
Turmeric chai.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The lids for Peekaboo brand ice cream promise veggies in every bite. They include a vanilla made with zucchini.
Okay.
I thought it might inspire you guys. I thought maybe you'd say, you know what? I really need to take advantage of this opportunity.
And we wonder why we are so unhappy when we are worried about these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Avocados can do anything. They can go from my toast to your little dessert cup.
Avocados can do anything they want, but they're not going to do it in my house.
It's so harsh.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Stocks dropped 3% today on news that China and its ongoing trade war with the United States devalued its currency and halted purchases of U.S. farm products. Financial analyst Hillary Kramer says much of these losses are computer-generated.
This is very serious because trading on that level turns machines on. You know, a lot of this is artificial intelligence. Machine sees that kind of loss, and they continue with the selling. So selling begets selling in this world of smart, supposed computers.
Kramer edits Game Changers in cooperation with Salem Media. Investors fear that the escalating trade war between the two giant economic powers could do lasting damage to the world economy. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 767 points. The NASDAQ plunged 278. The S&P lower by 87. Oil dropped to $54.69 a barrel. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
Hi, my name is Ryan Bourne.
And I am Danica Bourne.
And we're the owners of South Coast Tax.
We started our company 10 years ago in an effort to help our fellow Christians experiencing tax issues resolve their matters by taking a simple three-step approach.
South Coast Tax are Christian-based tax accountants and attorneys that specialize in releasing bank levies, wage garnishments, and filing complex tax returns. We are the leaders in acceptance of offers and compromise with awesome results. We're also a small firm who will treat you like family, not just a number.
Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176 for a free consultation. And we'll take the time to explain all of the programs that you qualify for in order to allow you a fresh start.
Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176, and together, we can help achieve this goal by putting the IRS debt behind you for good. Again, that number is 1-800-TAX-1176.
As parents, you're dedicated to seeing your kids live out God's call for their lives, to enter adulthood with discernment, integrity, biblical values, and the ability to thrive in work that's meaningful, to not only make wise and faithful decisions, but defend them as well. At Cornerstone Prep in West Mifflin, pre-K through 12th grade students thrive in an environment that fosters biblical discipleship and authentic education.
Cornerstone Prep, ready for life at cornerstoneprep.net.
Following is a true story. My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No. In our club, you save as much as half. Half off home improvement services, web design, family entertainment, music festivals, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping and God save the green.
We'll have a thunderstorm around to start tonight. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy, warm, and humid with a low of 66. Sunshine will mix with clouds tomorrow. Watch for a thunderstorm around in the afternoon, warm and humid with a high of 85. Mostly cloudy and buggy with a shower and thunderstorm around tomorrow night. It will be 65. Mainly cloudy and steamy Wednesday with a shower and heavy thunderstorm around, high near 80. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Frank Strait.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Happy to have you with us on today's edition of The Ride Home. My on-air partner, John Hall, taking a day off. I'm joined in the studio today by Dave Moore, the executive director of the Pittsburgh Urban Christian School. Dave, I'm happy you're here.
I am so happy I'm here.
I wish that we were meeting under better circumstances, which is what we say after every mass shooting.
Yes.
It's absolutely pitiful how often we have to talk about this. I got up this morning and I was probably like most Americans. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to, it's hard to know what to think. Anyway, I think that we're all just kind of in a situation where we just, as the president said, we need to kind of put our arms around each other and try to come to terms with it. Let's hear a little bit of President Trump's commentary this morning.
We are a loving nation, and our children are entitled to grow up in a just, peaceful, and loving society. Together, we lock arms to shoulder the grief. We ask God in heaven to ease the anguish of those who suffer, and we vow to act with urgent resolve.
So if we are a loving nation and our children deserve to grow up in a just and loving society, as the president said, here's my question. What do we do to promote that? The thing that has caused me unending bouts of anger and frustration is that when I hear people talk, either politicians, community leaders, or just your average person online, it seems like if they were asked the question, what do we do to promote a just and loving society? They point their finger at the other party or the other group and they say, well, this is what they need to do.
As soon as everybody else gets their act together, we're going to be fine.
But nothing is fine. And we don't get our act together because we're never thinking about our own behavior or our own viewpoint. We're just too busy dissecting someone's viewpoint who's on the other side of the political spectrum. It's getting us nowhere.
If sin infects all of us, then all of us to some extent are contributors to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like not great, we're a part of this. And the first step is to drop to our knees and say, you know what, God, I don't have a clue. And it's because of my sin, I don't even know where to start. We pray each Sunday, or many churches pray each Sunday, forgive me for the sins that I have committed, for the sins of commission, the sins of omission. We do not have, because of the sin that's within us, we have never treated anyone completely righteously. You know, Kathy, you and I have a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I have not treated you completely righteously. And that is the beginning of finding some kind of peace between us, is recognizing that I haven't always treated you well. You haven't always treated me well. Right. Even though I cannot think of
Nor can I, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But
or at least none that I discuss on the radio.
Let's just... The mic is still live.
I mean, there were a couple of things related to the Philadelphia Eagles that I have to admit did cause me great bits of anger.
Okay. And avocado toast, or
right.
We pass that.
And the whole Flyers thing. But
and
anyway,
the whole
go
Flyers
ahead.
Thing. So first,
yeah, saying
here we
that,
are.
Yeah, saying that this is, I have not treated you as I should have.
Kathy, I'm a failed
yes.
me.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's how you and your husband and me and my wife get through a married day.
Yes,
right?
For sure. Yeah.
Is by at the beginning of it saying, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to fail you royally today.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I failed you royally today.
Mm-hmm.
Still love you. Glad you still love me. That to me is the beginning. It's basic humility. But also, what is just? Justice isn't a policy. It isn't, justice would be if everybody made so much an hour, or justice would be if everybody had, or if justice would be. What is justice? What is love? We were discussing this and looking for a biblical connection. What the first step toward justice, it seems in the law of the Old Testament, is the capacity to name sin as sin, to say that's wrong. And so, for instance, the call for President Trump to acknowledge that hatred for other races is wrong, that's a legitimate call. Like,
mm-hmm.
we need as a nation to
be able to see something and
yes.
name it.
Yes.
Right. And we have to be able to say on the other side that the unbelievable preoccupation with this president is ridiculous.
Sure.
It's
yes.
it's they're making him into an idol of the worst kind.
Right.
It's the easy person to hate.
The Christian should not need the president to call something sin. We should be able to do that on our own. Whether the president agrees with us or not.
Doesn't matter.
And here's where we're on really troubling ground right now. Whether the president agrees with us or not. Before, when it was politically expedient for him to turn the other way, we should have been calling it sin. And now that he, at least in some speeches, is calling it, it's just saying this needs to be purged out of us. That's great. But
yeah, what did he call it? He said it's an evil contagion.
Yeah, evil contagion. We need to. He's absolutely right.
And Marianne Williamson last week called it
a dark
force, or a
dark psychic force, or
yeah,
psychic darkness. I think capitalized. The idea that Christians, and I'm only speaking to Christians here because we can't speak to everybody, but Christians, that waiting for our political leaders to say what's right and wrong is a huge mistake. We have a greater responsibility to our country and a greater responsibility to our neighbors to call sin, sin. It's uncomfortable. It's going to put us on the outs.
And it doesn't matter who it is, and it doesn't matter what party they're in or what perspective. Or
no, but it starts with the getting the log out of my own eye.
Yeah.
I am full of sin too.
Yeah, because if you're not starting with that, if you're going right to Lemmy, I can't wait to tell you about the sins you have.
Yeah, that's right. I have simply chosen
your
sins that I'm okay with.
Right.
I've chosen different ones.
And I would like to enumerate your own.
Right. But we're looking to create a just neighborhood. I am a failed person. We acknowledge under Romans that, none of us is righteous.
Right.
We can shake hands on that one. We can shake hands that we both agree that you want a safe and healthy place for your family to live.
And you want that too.
I want that too.
Even though we might disagree on whatever.
Right. Can we have those basic understandings, and can we have a basic agreement that, bigotry, just deciding who somebody is or what their capacity is or what their character is based on the color of their skin, it's heinous. It's wrong. Can we agree on that?
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay, we can agree on that. At least in theory, we can agree on that. Great. Okay, let's go one step up from
that. Right, just then build on that.
Let's figure out how to make justice happen within that framework.
Right. So if what the president said this morning, and I think it's wonderful, when he said that we're a loving nation and our children deserve to grow up in a just and loving society, I am all on board. But that has got to start with me. It's got to start with me. It doesn't start finger pointing at the politician you hate. It starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 4:25, I just want to give this a little plug. We're going to talk about an article by Arthur C. Brooks. 5:25, thank you. So I got my numbers off. 5:25, we're going to talk about the fact that we tend to make incorrect assumptions every day, and not just a couple, but most of our assumptions we make about the opposing political party, they're just downright wrong. They are downright wrong. Coming up next, Marilyn McIntyre, professor of medical humanities at UC Berkeley, trigger words, how to avoid provoking knee-jerk reactions. Are you getting close to retirement? Have you experienced a nice bump in your portfolio? Well, we know that the market goes up. Unfortunately, we also know it goes down. Don't risk your retirement to market whims. Learn how you can lock in those gains today by spending time with the team at Marley Financial. Todd Marley and the experts at Marley Financial can help you design a retirement plan that's bulletproof against the market's ups and downs. The team at Marley uses a multitude of different techniques to make sure you have a retirement that's tax-friendly, stable and worry-free. Oh, and speaking of taxes, did you know that Marley Financial can handle them too? With all the changes in the tax laws, be sure you're taking advantage of the best possible deduction and make sure you know what adjustments to make for your overall financial picture going forward. So call today for a no-obligation consultation to see just how for 25 years, the clients at Marley Financial have never had a retirement plan fail. Give them a call today at 724-884-1496 or find them online at marleyfg.com.
101.5 WORD.
How often do you complain about our government? How often do you pray for our nation's leadership? Tough questions, right? Well, in 1 Timothy, Paul commands us to pray regularly for our leaders, regardless of their politics. Do you know why? Well, this week on Through the Bible, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, gives the answer to this question and many more. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus and join us.
Through the Bible, this evening at 9 p.m. on 101.5 WORD.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bedliners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters. Always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville. For the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
When you're in college, sleep is important. But thanks to your studies and your social life, you might not be getting as much rest as you need. That old mattress in your dorm or off-campus housing, though, it's just not cutting it. Upgrade your sleep experience with a locally made, hand-built mattress from the Original Mattress Factory. We offer a variety of mattresses to suit every comfort preference and fit every budget. And we deliver right to you. Visit an Original Mattress Factory store near you or go to originalmattress.com to learn more.
We're surrounded by noise.
Order today.
Bombarded by information. Messages struggling to get attention. So many ways to reach customers. Your message needs to cut through and stand out. For the resources and know-how to make it all work, there's Salem Surround. Get started with a free evaluation of your digital presence and some great ideas to increase your online visibility and revenue. Learn more at surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Trigger words. If you have been married, you recognize that, John and I always talk about this. that you end up having with your spouse the same arguments over and over again, just yes. in with slightly different permutations. But the fight is usually about the same thing.
It's usually the same. Yeah, you could basically write the script and just have a few blanks in there that you plug
specific details. It's like
in.
Mad Libs.
Yes,
kind
that's
of.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not a choose your own adventure.
Darn it.
Yeah.
The adventure is much more fun than the fight.
Yes.
But the fight is where we end up, especially when it comes to public discourse or even, you know, working things out in our church family or our home family or whatever it is. And we've invited Marilyn McIntyre because she's my favorite guest to talk about the meaning of words and how careful we have to be in how we communicate. There's no better day than talk about that than today. Marilyn McIntyre is professor of medical humanities at UC Berkeley and the award-winning author of books on language and faith, including Make a List, What's in a Phrase, Pausing Where Scripture Gives You Pause, which is winner of a Christianity Today 2015 Book Award, and Caring for Words in a Culture of Lies. Her latest book is When Poets Pray. Dr. Marilyn McIntyre, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. It's lovely to be back.
So, trigger words. I brought it up in the context of marriage. I'm sure that you have experienced that as well. Where do you first think of that term? What does it most apply to in your own life?
Well, I think of it these days, and every time I listen to the news, or every time I talk to people about the news, or people at coffee hour at church, you know, it just seems as though there are words that all of us have kind of knee-jerk reactions to. And if we aren't careful to stay reflective, we just hear them and react. And sometimes they're just seem like kind of innocuous words like healthy or the economy or Christian. You know, this Christian is a word that people hear very differently. Even Christians hear it differently.
Evangelical.
So, yeah, evangelical, for sure. You know, it's become sort of a political bandwidth to some people, and to other people it really retains its core meaning of sharing the good news.
All right, Marilyn, so what contributes to how we hear that? So Michael laughs when I say this because this is a common refrain. He hears me shouting this from my office. I hate the term raise awareness. And The reason that I hate it is because it just seems to be filled with such self-importance. Like
I am aware, and I just wish everybody else was.
Yes, and right. It's exactly it. And so Mike's laughing. the reason that I hear that the way I do is because of the conversation I've observed, but it also has a lot to do with me.
Yeah, or it has to do with the associations you bring to the word, and I think that's how trigger words work. So when you talk about self-importance, my guess is that you've heard people use that word in ways that suggest that they've been to all the right seminars and
yes.
weekend
mm-hmm.
workshops and meditation spots and so on, and so they are a little more spiritual than thou. Is that the
yes,
right?
That's it.
Yeah.
You've all nailed it.
Right.
Kathy,
so
we know you so well.
Whole cluster. Well, a whole cluster of cliches can go with that. So in itself, I think raising awareness or becoming more attuned to the subtleties of, say, language or the weather or the way people connect at a party, all those things have to do with raising awareness. But once that phrase has become a trigger, then it's real hard to hear it anymore without having all your associations kicked in. Mm. And we all operate that way. So I think the important thing about thinking about trigger words is how do we stay reflective, not how do we avoid them altogether, because it happens. We have associations with things. You know, I know people who, as soon as you say environment, they have a whole constellation of political assumptions that go with that word. Hmm. So you can't just use it to describe the natural surroundings or even the built surroundings that you're talking about, because it's such a politicized word. So I think in communities of faith or within circles of friends or family, this would be an interesting thing to try around the Thanksgiving table, to just reclaim some words and pause over them and say, well, what exactly do we mean when we talk, say, about family values or about the middle class or about mature, you know, as in for mature audiences only. Mm. We've so lost the meaning of mature by embedding it in that phrase.
Marilyn, what you're getting at with triggering, I'm thinking of the word signaling, which is which has a similar intonation, but it's all getting toward, I'm going to say an awful lot in this word, and I'm going to hope you that the people who need to get my meaning are going to get my meaning. And and what you're calling for is a stop and ask, you know, what do you mean by this word? What do I mean by this word? Does it align? And boy, there's a lot of time involved with that. I don't have time for that. So Marilyn, give me a tool to slow myself down either in listening or speaking so that so that our conversations have better understanding.
Well, thank you for asking that for that, because you're right that real reflection takes time. But I think you can practice, and this is an interesting little practice, just slowing down in the middle of a sentence to say, and actually by that, here's what I mean. You know, when I talk about, say, what's healthy, I'm really talking on the basis of looking beyond what's on the labels of cereal boxes. Or we know the word healthy is used in advertising copy, but what's really healthy is harder to get at. Just some little acknowledgement that may take a sentence or part of a sentence, but I think pausing to define is can be done graciously and quickly, and it's a good discipline.
Pausing to define.
I like that. Dr. Marilyn McIntyre, professor of medical humanities at UC Berkeley, award-winning author of Caring for Words in a Culture of Lies, and her latest book, When Poets Pray. So, Marilyn, when we talk, and, you know, I mentioned, you know, a term that really gets under my skin, raising awareness. Mm-hmm. But imagine all the things I say that get under people's skin all the time, not only am I listening audience,
okay,
but the people, have to live in my house. So, so what about like checking ourselves? How can that happen? Is that a process of being careful what we say, or is it just being committed to character development?
I think it partly has to do with just making words part of the conversation with the people who know you best. Like I've noticed that I've said the word safe a lot this week, so I wonder why that is. I must be really feeling concerned about safety, something like that. It's just bringing up words the way you bring up what's in the news in the morning. And not all the time, but I think, especially if you have kids in the house, getting used to talking about language helps them, helps, so to speak, raise their awareness.
Interesting. I have never done that. I have never talked about words that come up. I mean, beginning,
we have so much implied in our
families, really,
don't we?
We really do. And then I think, you know, I said at the start how most of the arguments my husband and I have had over 26 years of marriage are basically the same argument. We just do it a different way every time. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if those come from embedded words, and that maybe that's pointing to something deeper.
Well, I think a lot of arguments do come from the flashpoints that come up around words that remain unexamined. And I think, you know, thinking of kids, one word that you might just pause over with them around the dinner table is, well, you've used the word cool three times. I wonder what you mean by it. What's cool? And let them describe it. But inviting them to describe it, I think, takes the conversation to a somewhat deeper place and invites reflection. Or a word like normal, like that's not normal.
Or that's weird.
I don't know. Or that's weird, right. And sometimes, not to be too academic about it, but you can have fun looking at what's the original root of the word. Or how did people used to use it? Because sometimes it's really surprising how a root word or how it used to be used in earlier English or something can bring up whole new layers of meaning, and it can make the word itself interesting and restore it as a usable and kind of precious tool that you don't want to lose by flattening it into cliche.
This is especially true crossing generations, where words seem to, there are certain words that mean something differently to my kids than they do to me.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, some of them are so dangerous. I mean, all of us use the word normal, but that one really needs to be unpacked periodically. Because our norms come from where we live and how we live and those among whom we live. And so describing anything that's unfamiliar as abnormal is where a lot of very problematic attitudes begin.
So closing out our conversation, Marilyn, kind of going back to where we started, thinking about the tragedies of this weekend and our, the president talked this morning in his address to the nation about combating this feeling of powerlessness. And I wonder how you think that that language can either help or hinder that effort.
The language of combating the feeling of powerlessness?
Yes.
Well, I would start with the term combating and just think about how much of our language is militarized.
Martial.
Yeah, and so what if we moved from that to saying, what if we all reflected on the roots of what the causes of what's happening? What if we gathered to reflect? What if we gathered to consider? You know, but I think one of the disciplines what people can practice together is substituting verbs and seeing what happens.
Give me an example of that.
I just did. If you took that phrase and said, yes, it's important to combat what drives us into powerlessness, but if combat isn't an energizing word, if it feels like we all have to sort of strap on our weapons and go out there with aggression, then maybe we also need to pause and consider or think together or, you know, pray and then act, or, you know, what are the other things we need to do besides combating? How do we deepen our understanding of what's going on? So I just think that anytime you get to a stuck place, one of my strategies is to poke around at the verbs and see what process are we actually describing here? And what process do we need to be engaged in?
That sounds like an excellent exercise to do in classrooms as well. How much fun did you have with that?
I had fun with it. I've had fun being an English teacher, but I've also had fun being a mom. And I was raised in a family of deeply faithful people who read the Bible, so a lot of our conversation really had biblical reference in it. But they read it in a lively way, and they had a lot of different versions, and they talked about what we read together. And so I feel as though that was a very, very rich treasure I was given by a family. It didn't have much money, but we had a lot of words.
Well, I'll tell you, you've given us a lot, and I mean this, a lot of rich treasures in the books that you've written. I can't tell you, and I've mentioned this on the air multiple times, Caring for Words and a Culture of Lies is one of my favorite books I've read, I think, I mean, I want to say in the last 5 years, Marilyn. I just really appreciate it so much, as I appreciate your time with us on the air each month.
Oh, thank you.
That's Dr. Marilyn McIntyre, professor of medical humanities at UC Berkeley. Her latest book, When Poets Pray.
She has a calming spirit. You can tell she's a genuine person and actually cares.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care with Dr. Megan Stock.
She was just friendly and nice, and her office staff is actually just as welcoming. And you can tell that they all are really on the same page and they want to help people. And even my family members, like my mom goes to her, and she's always been terrified of dentists, and she just raves about Dr. Megan.
Stock Family Dentistry on Perry Highway in Wexford at stockfamilydentistry.com.
Hey, now that it's August, we're thinking about different things than we were 4 weeks ago. I mean, maybe a month ago you were thinking about your vacation, or, you know, what are you going to take to the beach, or, you know, all the things that you're going to check off your summer bucket list. Now you're thinking, okay, school's right around the corner. There's a lot of things that I have to put on my to-do list that I can hopefully check off in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Well, if you've got a child who's just starting high school, or maybe you've got a child who's further along in high school, maybe a junior, you're really starting to think about college. Maybe you're starting to ask that question. Maybe you're starting to say, hey, okay, is there a faith-based school? that's going to train my child well enough that he or she's going to be able to compete in this type of job market? Or you're saying, you know, is there a Christian school that's going to not just be the academic part, but is also going to shepherd my child's faith so that when they graduate, they're going to be not just a mature student, but they're going to be a mature person? Well, listen, I can tell you that I've spent a lot of time at Grove City College over the last couple of years. My daughter's a student there. And Grove City, truly, for our family, has checked off each one of those boxes. It is a demanding place academically, but it also is a place that takes very seriously the molding and shaping of Christian students. So if you want more information about what it might look like to have your child in a place like Grove City, look them up online, gcc.edu.
Hey, it's John Hall. So a while back, the folks at MyPillow said, hey, John, can you try out a MyPillow and let us know what you think? I'm skeptical. I mean, it's a pillow. But what did I have to lose, right? I'll tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. No more folding the pillow in half. No more flat, lifeless pillows. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know, you need MyPillow. Well, not my actual pillow, but your own MyPillow. It stays cool all night long. No more waking up at 3 a.m. to flip to the cool side of the pillow. It keeps its shape. No more reshaping your pillow in the middle of the night. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Return it. MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty. Do you have a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? You can toss a MyPillow into your washer and dryer. It's like new again. Get a two-pack of MyPillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-391-0954. Use promo code WORD.
We'll have a thunderstorm around to start tonight. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy, warm, and humid with a low of 66. Sunshine will mix with clouds tomorrow. Watch for a thunderstorm around in the afternoon, warm and humid with a high 85. Mostly cloudy and muggy with a shower and thunderstorm around tomorrow night. It will be 65. Mainly cloudy and steamy Wednesday with a shower and heavy thunderstorm around, high near 80. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Frank Strait.
Do you ever stop to ask how much you really know about the people who are on the other side of the political spectrum? Or whether the outrage industry in politics and media is really telling you the truth about the people who live next door to you, your fellow Americans who disagree with you?
The dangers lurking in my neighbor's basement.
Exactly. Okay. These questions are worth asking, according to Arthur C. Brooks, because it turns out most of what we think we know about the other side is just wrong. Arthur Brooks wrote this piece in the Washington Post. It was last week, but I thought it deserved some attention, especially in light of the conversation that we've all read and seen on cable news or online or whatever since the terrible shootings over the weekend. And I thought that maybe talking about this would just give us a little bit of a push to recognize that we could have conversations with people that think different things about safety, about gun control, about video games, about whatever it is, if we just didn't go into a conversation thinking that we knew what the opposition was like. So this is based on a 2017 study in the Journal of Politics. And here's a couple things that it says, Dave. It says that the average Democrat believes that more than 40% of Republicans earn more than $250,000 a year.
Oh, unbelievable.
Okay. So most Democrats believe that Republicans are rich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Meanwhile, on the other side, Republicans believe that most Democrats are LGBTQ.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here, how close are these estimates to reality? Not very close, because just 2% of Republicans are doing that well financially. Just 2% of Republicans are earning more than $250,000, and just 6% of Democrats are LGBTQ.
So what you're saying is we may not be getting the proper perspective on people by what we read about them in opposition reports.
We're not even getting it close to right. getting the basic facts about our neighbors wrong, I mean this wrong, is pathetic enough. But more alarming, says Arthur Brooks, is the tendency to erroneously attribute extreme views and motives to the other side. This is something I thought
motives.
Was... Yeah, okay.
A suicide.
Right. I really, really liked this apart and appreciated it simply because we tend, each one of us, depending on whatever side of the political spectrum we're on, we overestimate the percentage of the other side that has extreme views. Okay, mm-hmm. Because, and there's a reason why we think that, because the people that have the extreme views are the loudest.
Yes.
That's why we think that.
Right.
So it's not like we're making stuff up, right? I mean.
They call it a complaint line for a reason. The one piece in here that I highlighted was that ignorance of opponents' motives leads to needless conflict. It's the belief that I am motivated by love. But mm-hmm. you are motivated by hatred.
Yes.
It's an attribution of motives. We can disagree fiercely and yet still believe that – I can still believe that you want what's best and that I want what's best.
Even if we disagree.
Even if we disagree fiercely.
But that's not what's happening. What's
no.
happening instead is that I assume – let's use the gun debate because that's what everybody's talking
right.
about today. Okay. So let's say I'm pro-gun.
Yep.
And let's say you're – or at least I'm pro-Second Amendment.
You got to throw them all out.
Right. And you are like we're ditching them all.
Right.
Okay. I tend to look at you as you want to – first of all, you don't believe in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to take away my rights and you actually blame
– And you're happy about people being killed.
Right. And you blame me. Mm-hmm. Even though I am a responsible gun owner and have been forever, you still blame me for these shootings.
Yes, because you're participating in the culture of guns.
And I'm saying I'm not participating in the culture of guns. I'm a responsible gun owner who likes to do this.
There is no such thing as a responsible gun owner.
Okay, there we go.
All right.
Okay, so this is the conversation
yeah.
that we're having. Okay, this
right.
is this is what it sounds like. And what Arthur Brooks is saying is if you look at the actual responses of what people believe, most of us, the great majority of us, are in the center.
Yes. Not only that, but here's what's great. Because both sides, or both sides, there's more than two sides. I shouldn't have
yeah,
said that.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
but
right, let's
yeah, yeah.
let's
but
unpack that word, Marilyn. The fact that people, that so many of us attribute horrible motives to those who disagree with us. Isn't that great news? Because we all agree on something now.
Right.
We agree that the person on the other side is awful. And can we at least, like, at what point do we just kick back and say, boy, we are really full of ourselves? I mean, there can be a point. There can be another
there
out besides.
There has to be a point. There has to be a point where
mutually assured destruction, where
every time we see an article comes out after a shooting, mm-hmm. which says that the only problem with this, the only contributing factor to this issue of mass violence is guns. That is the only thing. That's the only thing. Whatever it is,
right.
whether it's your video or it's mental illness or whatever
right.
whatever the current like strategy is that you've latched mm-hmm. yourself onto, right? If that's the only thing that we can see and I attribute that cause to you,
mm-hmm.
then you are the enemy.
Yes. Well, I have to be because we just don't have any other options. And so if you're this language of if you're not with us, then you're against us. That is really cut and dry language that Jesus uses, or that the Bible uses very sparingly. It's forceful when it happens. But man, let's enter every conversation assuming that the other person, we've talked about this before in the last hour, that every one of us is a human being, that every one of us is filled with sin, that none of us gets it right. And I can disagree with you fiercely, but if I start assigning motives to you, I've sinned against
yes.
you.
Yes, yep, that's right. If I assume I know what your motives are,
right.
and if I am assuming I know your motives, I'm assuming they're evil.
Right.
Because there's certainly no way I'm looking at an opponent and attributing good motives to him.
No.
It's always a negative motive. One last thing.
Okay.
Two things contribute even more to me having a negative viewpoint of you as my opponent. Okay. The more cable news I watch and the more social media I use. Those are the two things that contribute.
Why is that?
Because
we've been watching those things for years.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. But I think both of them, even more now, are amplifying these types of trends that we're seeing so that they know that, say I'm a lib. And I'm watching MSNBC. Mm-hmm. They know that
you're not watching Fox News.
That to keep, well, if I'm a lib, I'm not.
Okay. Why?
No. Well, because I only want to hear people say what I already think is right.
Yes.
I need someone to confirm my viewpoint, my
I
worldview.
I need confirmation more than I need understanding.
Right. And it's more fun to be talking to somebody about a shared enemy.
Oh, yes.
It's very fun.
Yes.
Right. So I'd rather.
There's probably a surge of dopamine in there.
Right. So I feel this affinity with my MSNBC people because we all hate Trump.
Okay.
And so that's. But the more I watch that or the more I talk to my friends online who hate Trump, then the more I'm becoming what this article's talking about, where I am attributing even worse motives to people who disagree
and
with
this
me politically.
This is vastly different than what we have experienced. What we experienced in the 20th century. The 20th century was the time of a lot of milquetoast news gathering, not intense, not fierce and partisan. And it's because when everything ran, we go back 200 years, well, you had all these different pamphlets that were competing with each other. But you had a funneling through the major
the
networks.
Top three.
In the first radio and then TV, that every one of them was competing for the entire national market share, and so they weren't going to pin themselves into a corner. Whereas now the landscape is such that they're rewarded for pinning themselves into a corner,
right?
At least in short-term market share.
Yeah,
and we just need to acknowledge that and say, we're not going to participate in that.
Right. And we also have to acknowledge the fact that we've created it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. More conversation coming up on today's Ride Home.
WORD.
Coming up on Love Worth Finding.
Paul said you can't even compare the glory that we will receive with the suffering that we now know. He's going to turn every tear to a pearl, every hurt to a hallelujah, and every defeat into a victory, and every Calvary into an Easter when Jesus comes.
If you're going through difficult days, listen to Adrian Rogers' uplifting series, Under the Great Physician's Care, this month on Love Worth Finding.
Tonight at 11 on 101.5 WORD.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-892-2307 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-892-2307 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-892-2307 now and start learning to trade the right way. Call 855-892-2307. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Did you know you can get Hulu for only $5.99 a month? That's all the Veronica Mars, Handmaid's Tale, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Family Guy, and This Is Us that you can watch. Plus thousands of other shows and movies, like that one show you quote all the time. And that other show you've been meaning to watch. And that show you don't tell anyone you watch. Don't worry, we don't judge. We might be crazy to give you all that TV for so little, but we love TV. And we want to make it easy for you to watch more of it. So if you love TV like we love TV, go to Hulu.com and start your free trial.
This is Chris Abernethy of Abernethy & Hagerman. You don't want the government deciding what happens to your estate or how much they will take. At Abernethy & Hagerman, estate administration is the heart and soul of our practice. We have the experience to help not only plan, but administer your estate properly, to protect your assets, minimize taxes, and ensure that your inheritance gets to the ones you love. Decide for yourself. Abernethy and Hagerman. Legal help that lasts a lifetime. Visit a-h.law.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club you save as much as half. Half off home improvement services, web design, family entertainment, music festivals, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping and God save the green.
Word FM invites you to a special free preview screening of Overcomer. Life changes overnight for Coach John Harrison when his high school basketball team's state championship dreams are crushed when the largest manufacturing plant in town suddenly shuts down and hundreds of families begin moving away. John has to come to grips with the challenges facing his family and his team, questioning his worth until he crosses paths with a student struggling with her own journey. The film is called Overcomer. It dares to leave you filled with hope, maybe inspired, and asks the question, what do you allow to define you? Overcomer, free preview screening, which is coming up Thursday, August 15th. That's 1 week from this Thursday, 7 p.m. at the Cinemark at Robinson Township. You can register for a free ticket by clicking on the Overcomer link on our Word FM Pittsburgh Facebook page. That's our Word FM Pittsburgh Facebook page. All right, coming up on tomorrow's show, we're going to talk about being a peacemaker, the path of a peacemaker, a biblical guide to healthy relationships, conflict resolution, and a life of peace. Those sound like lofty goals, don't they, Dave?
A little bit.
Our guest will be P. Brian Noble. It's coming up. He's from Peacemaker Ministries. That is on tomorrow's show. So as we kind of wrap up our conversation about the shootings over the weekend, I guess my last question is, do you guys, and I'm going to ask both of you this, do you just, at moments like this, do you withdraw from social media? Like, do you just not do any of it? Do you not read articles? Do you not read the comment section of articles? Or what do you do to keep yourself in a place that makes sense?
I didn't have to withdraw from social media.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to post something on my Facebook page. I thought you were going to, say something about my Instagram.
No, I think it's, I think.
No, wait, see, I'm joking because you are not on social media.
Not a bit.
You have no social media.
No.
Mikey has no social media.
None.
That's impressive, actually.
Check this out. Still have a pulse.
That's probably why.
Just to make sure, but I do still have a pulse.
Okay, that's exactly why he has a pulse, because he doesn't have to deal with the drama.
I'm not going to. This isn't said out of any pride whatsoever. I simply prefer to take my time. To many people's chagrin, I just prefer to take my time, and there's no taking my time in social media. But we had a Facebook for a while.
A Facebook,
mm-hmm. Yes.
I like it.
Yeah, thank you.
He had a Facebook, Mike.
I did.
Look how cute he is.
It fit in my purse.
But you didn't like it.
What do you call them? Pages or sites?
Yeah,
you
have a page. Okay,
I had a Facebook page for a while, and then... And you know, keep in touch with people from around the country if we've moved away. And, oh, look who's now has separate pages and now whose family's falling apart. And then, you know what? I don't need to keep up with that anymore. And especially, I don't need to be around anything where I have the ability to broadcast my first thought. I mean, that's just not a good place for me.
Which means
radio is probably not the, you know, I need to slow down here. But no, so do I with the bigger question is, do I find myself withdrawing? I find myself going back to individuals that I have already come to trust.
There we go. Right. So you read the writers that you've already, mm-hmm. you know, signed up for. You feel like, okay,
right.
not necessarily that you agree with all the time, but someone you say they've always made sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt.
I'm going to read David French, National Review.
Always smart.
I'm going to read David Graham off of The Atlantic.
Always smart.
But I am not going to.
I'm going to read Arthur Brooks.
You're going to read Arthur. Yeah. Arthur Brooks is another good one. I'll read David Brooks.
Yeah,
his son.
They're not. Not related.
Yes, I'll go to David Brooks. I'm going to ignore everything else. And that's also because with something that's big, I want to treat it with some reverence and not entertainment. And news or ingesting news is just a way of taking in entertainment.
Yeah, that's true.
So much
that's
of
true.
What,
it's like sports.
Yeah, it's like
right.
Sports.
It's just two. We still got two teams.
Yes, and so when I'm reading an author, I'm not looking for confirmation. I'm looking for somebody to push me in my thinking. And so I go back to people that I trust who have shown when there wasn't a crisis that they are able to push me, honestly push me in my thinking, whether we're coming from the same set of presuppositions or not.
I like it. All right. That's a good strategy.
You?
Though, I don't really know, but you're a political junkie. You could really get into Twitter and and not in a good way.
For most of us, it's hard to even look at. We've all seen images of a hungry child. She can barely move because that hunger has left her exhausted, lifeless. There's a name for this. It's severe acute malnutrition. Save the Children works in poor areas and cares for the child you're thinking of right now, but they can't do it without you. Your $60 gift to Save the Children can provide the emergency nutrition needed to bring a child back from the verge of death. We've just received the news that your gift to Save the Children will now be doubled. That's right. Thanks to a generous private donor, every life-saving dollar you give will double to change the lives of children. Please call Save the Children right now.
Call 888-884-4836. 888-884-4836. That's 888-884-4836 or give online at wordfm.com.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day. For free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-892-2307 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-892-2307 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-892-2307 now and start learning to trade the right way. Call 855-892-2307. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
What you want is awesome new flooring at a great price. What you don't want is to spend hours at a showroom looking for it. With At Home Flooring, you won't have to. At Home Flooring is where awesome happens. And their family's been bringing awesome straight into Pittsburgh homes with top quality hardwood, tile, carpet, and vinyl for over 50 years with their free shop at home experience, along with great selection and professional installation. So forget the showroom and schedule a little bit of awesome instead. Visit athomeflooringpgh.com.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care Centers, you can get a $25 prepaid Visa card by mail when you buy any Napa automotive battery. That's Napa know-how at participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Auto Care Centers. While supplies last, offer expires August 31st.
Some of your favorite pastors and authors like Charles Stanley, John Piper, and Max Lucado are bringing you their most popular devotionals for free. Discover the joy and peace you can experience every day when you spend time in God's Word daily. Sign up for daily devotionals from crosswalk.com and get inspiration and encouragement sent right to your inbox with devotionals for parenting, singles, women, workplace, and more. Crosswalk.com offers spiritual growth for every stage of life. Visit crosswalk.com.
Our conversation will continue tomorrow as we talk about what's going on in the nation and trying to encourage good conversation amongst people. But I want to mix it up before the show ends. And I just want to ask you guys something good that you're watching or reading, because we need to find a place to escape from all this, too. So, Mike, I'll start with you.
I am watching a Netflix show called Meat Eater.
Mm.
Yeah. Hmm. Hosted by Steve Ranella.
Okay. It's
is he trying to raise awareness about meat eating?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
And that all hunting isn't isn't just for the sport of going out and killing an animal. He actually breaks down where to shoot the animal so it doesn't suffer for a long time. And actually, there's specific areas, like for a deer, for instance, you should shoot it in the lungs, because if you shoot it in the liver, you're going to spoil the meat. You can't eat the meat if you shoot a deer in the liver. So he actually helps you how to clean the animal after you shoot it, and cook it, and what spices and herbs to use to make it taste better. So he is basically like a hunter and a chef. So
that's really interesting.
It's
called Meat Eater.
It's called Meat Eater.
All right. Yeah. I like it. Dave?
Nothing quite that exciting. I just finished reading The Miracle at Philadelphia. No, it does not have to do with the Eagles.
Thank goodness.
Oh, yeah, thank
better miracle. Not have to do with the Flyers.
No, that would be a miracle. The Miracle at Philadelphia is by Catherine Drinker Bowen. It's about 50 years old. It is a narrative of the Constitutional Convention.
That's really cool.
A little bit of biography associated with it, with many of the characters, but it is just the story, very little, you know, a little bit of prelude, a little bit of right up through ratification, but mostly the conversations that went into the debate and the purposes, like the motives that were recorded in the participants' journals.
Wow. So that sounds great. What's that called?
The Miracle at Philadelphia by Catherine Drinker Bowen.
All right.
Cool.
So, I watched another episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee last night. I got to tell you, I think it's my favorite thing on TV right now. if you've never watched it and you think, well, what do I care about a bunch of comedians? It's, you don't watch it to laugh, though there's a lot of funny things. It's just a wonderful conversation between two people.
Yeah.
And, oh, do we need to see that modeled for us? How two people just sit across the table from each other and talk.
Amen.
Oh, man, it's awesome. So I recommend Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. It's on Netflix. Thanks for being with us today. We'll see you right back here at the same time tomorrow, Pittsburgh. Have yourself a great night.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.